Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Well, good evening and welcome to another segment of Hot Topics from the Soul. You know, as we enter into February, I always start talking about love and relationships. And I was reading some information today online about love and relationships, and I came across something that Bob Marley said regarding love. He says, "Only once in your life, I truly believe, you find someone who can completely turn your world around. You tell them things that you've never shared with another soul, and they absorb everything you say and actually want to hear more. You share hopes for the future, dreams that will never come true, goals that were never achieved, and many disappointments life has thrown at you. When something wonderful happens, you can't wait to tell them about it, knowing they will share in your excitement. They are not embarrassed to cry with you, and when you're hurting or laugh, when you make a fool of yourself, never do they hurt your feelings or make you feel like you're not good enough, but rather they build you up and show you the things about yourself that make you special and even beautiful." When I read that, I was like, oh, love is such an amazing thing. And I reached out to two of my friends, Lauren and Dee Thompson, who have been married for quite some time, and they're going to say, Lauren, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Dee, are you there?
Okay. Yes, I'm here, Val.
Yes, when I read that and I was talking to Shirley Carter, who's my co-host, and she is having some voice challenges this evening, and she'll probably chime in at some point. But anyway, I thought of you, and I thought about the power of one. You know, when you find someone like Bob Marley says, how magical, how exciting that all is, and I picked up the phone, and I dialed you, Dee, and I said, you guys want to talk about love on my show tonight? I just love seeing you people together. You know, Dee is little people like me, and Lauren is tall piece of chocolate like I like them. And I said, oh, how cute. How long have you guys been married?
We've been married for 25 years. This past Christmas day.
Wow, y'all look like teenagers.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
How did you guys meet?
Dee, you want to start it off?
Well, yes, I think I'd better. You know, there's always a conflict, and, you know, when you talk to couples about how they met, because a man will have a story in his head and the woman will have a story in her head. And, you know, women live in fantasy a lot of times. So, you know, we like to have this picture-perfect meeting, and it doesn't always happen that way. The fact is we both lived in Gary, Indiana at the time that we met. And at that time I was working for a company, and my sister and I had a contract with the city there. We lived in Gary, Indiana, and we had an insurance contract. And the police chief at that time opened up a brand new lounge and invited all of the associates to come there at 2:00 in the afternoon. Lauren, who was also a business owner there in the city of Gary, he owned 4 businesses at that time, was also there. And we both had grown up in this city, had never met, I had never even as much as heard his name, and I was well known in the city, and I had a city contract, so I knew pretty much everybody in the city. I never knew or had ever met Lauren. And we were introduced that day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, everyone wants to think, well, we met in church or we met in the grocery store. No, we met in a lounge, a bar.
Okay.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it was a grand opening. It was a wonderful event. And we were introduced by one of our associates that was very good friends to Lauren and very good friends, one of my good friends as well. And he introduced us at that time for business purposes. And that meeting turned into a long-term friendship.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
okay,
we became
so Lauren,
friends for 2 years. Hmm? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I said, yeah, let me hear your take on this.
Okay, you know, I had a little different take. You know, Amanda, I think she was hitting on me first, you know, but that wasn't the case. That we had mutual understanding. We had, after we met, we had a 2-year relationship, and we became best of friends before we became, even started thinking about dating or becoming, thinking about marriage. But we became a very good, she's my best friend, someone I could be transparent with. Someone that I could trust my finances with, because she took some of my finances since I had more businesses and began to mold them into some policies and things like that that eventually made me money.
Mm.
And that's what
okay,
I was about.
Okay, so you started business before you started dating.
Yes.
That's how we were introduced. And I became his financial advisor. And, you know, and I had an opportunity to get, you know, get to know him, get to know how responsible he was. I had an opportunity to see what type of parent he was. Lauren was divorced at that time. And I saw what type of father he was to his son. And I just saw what type of person he was in general. But we were friends at that time. And we maintained
a
friendship.
Okay, so where did the shift happen? How did the shift happen?
The shift? Well, let me see. I begin to see Dee in a different light. I begin to look at her for some of the things that balance. You know, some of the areas where I was strong in, she may have been weak in. Some of the areas where I was weak, she was stronger. So it's like a scale. We balanced each other out. We balanced each other. And we found that was a very good marker for having a long relationship. Business-wise, my end was fine, and financially advising, because I'd been in business for about 16 years before I met her. And then she came in and developed a good relationship, trusting. And that was it.
Well, what we started to do, Dr. Valerie, at that time, Lauren was a single parent, and I can remember now. He is now currently my son. You know, I never used the term stepson. You know, if someone asked me, well, you know, you have another son, you have a Lauren Jr., then if they've known me all of my life, then I do have to explain that that was Lauren's son from his first marriage. However, mm-hmm. at that time, Lauren's son, Gipper, our son now, would come and stay for the summers, for the holidays. And I had a niece. I had a niece who would visit me for the summers. And we started talking about they were the same age and, you know, what are you going to do for the weekend? Well, actually, I think his son was staying there, staying with him at the time. And we started just going bowling. We started going through our favorite restaurants, and we just started going different places
Chicago.
Just to entertain these teenagers at the time. So we still didn't have any idea about dating until our son said to his dad, I think she's good for you. And then he whispered in my ear, I think my dad is good for you. So he was playing matchmaker.
Aww.
So that's
but I'm surprised you guys didn't get it on your own. You had to have, well, they said a child shall lead them.
Yeah. Well, see, my son was living with me. I had custody of him. So, and after that summer when he came down to Gary, he asked his mom, could he move down? And she said yes, and that's when we started off from there. And like I said, just worked off into a beautiful relationship.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I know that there are people listening, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to share how you met, because there are a lot of single people out there, and they figure if they go to this place, they'll meet somebody, or that place, they'll meet someone. But, you know, love and relationships and things, it just happens. It just catches you unaware. I know you've heard me speak, Dee, and one of the things that I do when I'm talking about relationships is I ask people how many have ever been in love, that type of love where you get the butterflies in your stomach and you stay hours on the phone. Nobody wants to hang up first because nobody wants to be the first to say goodbye. And, you know, I remember when I was married to my husband, I tell you, we used to wake up, and at that time, you paid for by the minute. So if you fell asleep with that phone in your hand and it was off the hook all night long, then you had a hefty bill coming that month. So,
we could tell you about that.
You want to know if somebody loves you? The true test of if somebody loves you is they put their money where their heart is.
Absolutely. And we had those moments. We would spend hours upon hours upon hours talking, sharing, you know. But again, it started off as business. And but during those long, lengthy conversations that we would have, there would be times and periods that we wouldn't communicate. There would be times where months would go by, and the next thing you know, we would somehow communicate and say, hey, what are you doing this weekend? You know, let's go bowling. You know, all of our first dates were public places because I was single. Mm-hmm. I actually was a single parent at the time, and Lauren was a single parent at the time. So we just, you know, continued to visit public places with the kids, never anything romantic because we didn't even have those ideas. It just happened. And, you know, and that's why I'm a firm believer that when something or someone is meant for you, it happens. You don't have to do anything to create it, to initiate it. You don't have to chase people down. I wasn't that kind of girl anyway. You know, I was comfortable being single. I was comfortable being independent. So I wasn't out there looking for someone to settle down with, nor was Lawrence. I think he was divorced for a few years at that point, maybe about 4 or 5 years. He wasn't looking to settle down. His major concern was raising his son, getting him through school, so on and so forth. So it just sort of happened, you know. And I'm sure he's glad it did.
Yeah, it was quite a job of reasons. Yes.
So, Lauren, during that process where you were single, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate here only because there are singles that are on the phone and they're like, oh, can't wait for love, want love, love me, love me, love me. But, you know, from your perspective as being a man, I heard Dee say that, you know, she was content being single, wasn't really looking for anything. She was loved her independence, and I could definitely identify with that. But you being a single parent at the time, did you have a lot of women pursuing you and trying to force your hand, and that's why you really didn't pay that much attention to Dee in a personal manner? Or is it because you were just totally focused? Because there are some women out there that come across men like you, and they feel that they got to be all up in their face so that they can change their heart and change their mind, make them want to be there. How was that for you?
That was a challenge. Because having business and we rode good cars and had basic things, when we looked at the businesses and looked at some things and the badges. But however, I just wasn't quite ready. My job was taking care of business and raising a son. And women have moral motives, but we always had principles. I always had principles to go by, some things that a woman had to do and needed to do. Transparency was one. The other one was being recreational companion, you know, who we liked. We went to Chicago often on weekends for shows, OJs and other things like that. But we enjoyed ourselves. But like I said, when I came home, I went to my house and deal with her home, and we were very comfortable. I wasn't looking for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I was pursued, yes. But just, it was difficult trying to stay as professional with all women as possible. And that's just what I did. I kept it very professional.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good information. Now, over the years, you've been married 25 years. Do you have some benchmarks or some tips for individuals in maintaining that relationship or entering into one?
Yeah, I went back through my files and I thought about the five principles that we had. A recreational companionship, intimacy, and sex. These are things you look for in the five things that basically a man's needs. And Dee has been willing to comply and be a very comfortable and a very transparent wife. Domestic support, attractiveness, and also administrative support. And those are things that, those are the five principles that we use and we try to keep as a goal and a purpose for us. And I appreciate Dee's gifting, and I try to support her in her God-given talents, and she is truly talented in those areas. I'm a retired educator, so and a businessman. So my time has passed. I feel that my goal now is to support Dee financially, participating, and whatever way, everything I need to do, because I had that support also. Dee?
Mm-hmm. And the other things what Lauren is talking about is, you know, the five needs of a man, the five needs of a woman. There's basic lists, and we've taught on those over the years. And he covered the five basic needs of a man. And what happens, the five basic needs of a woman, though, is affection, conversation and communication, honor and openness, financial support and family commitment. Our needs are totally different from the needs of that man. So what women do, they look at all of the externals, and they think that all of those things are just going to attract a man and get that man to, it will get him to look, because if you count it down from one to five, when Laura named the five needs of a man, attractiveness was number four on the list. So the things that attracted him to me were the things that, you know, the recreational companionship. You know, I love the Miami Heat. I love, you know, Lauren is a basketball player. He was a professional basketball player. He went off to college on a basketball scholarship. He played pro ball until he was injured. So those were the challenges. So we had something in common when we met. It wasn't just about, oh, how handsome I think he is or how cute he might think I am. It went far beyond that. You know, you have to be compatible. And I wasn't looking for anyone. I was quite comfortable. And but men don't like women that are just so easy, that are constantly chasing them. They want a challenge. I don't know any man that is going to be attracted to a woman that keeps chasing and pursuing, because a man's nature, and even in the animal kingdom, is to always be in pursuit. And women who are just so easy, you know, generally will get the man, but it's very temporary. It's temporary. It's not a lasting relationship. So what I would say to any woman is, in order to have a lasting relationship, you do like we started out. We became friends first. Because you know what, Dr. Val? there are times when you're married, and Lauren and I have been married for 25 years, so, you know, I always tell people, don't take counsel from people that's only been married a year or just started dating or been married for 3 years. You have to have some kind of longevity, because there are going to be things in that marriage and in that relationship that's going to challenge you. It's going to challenge your very being. It's going to challenge your love for one another. And you're going to see different sides of that person. Well, I wanted to see all of that prior to us even getting married. I wanted to see how Lauren handled hard times, how he handled paid his bills, how he managed being single with all of these women. Lauren was probably one of the most eligible bachelors in Gary, Indiana at the time, but he wasn't one to run the street, so nobody really knew him because I did it, and I thought that I knew everyone in the city. However, I was able to observe all of the qualities and traits in him. And, you know, I found myself saying one day, I was sitting in the car one day after a meeting, and I said to myself, the kind of man, someone asked me, why are you still single? Because at that point, you know, my mind wasn't on that. My mom was disabled at the time, and I was caring for her. I was a single parent. I was working a full-time job. And they said, well, what kind of man would you look for? And I named all of the qualities and traits that Lauren had. And then something just hit me. You know, that he's right there. And he's been there all along. But because I wasn't looking, I just kind of overlooked all of those qualities that he had. But those were the things that attracted me to him as a friend. And we were such good friends. We would talk about these things and we would laugh about them, but we weren't considering one another, you know, in the running. You know, I always tell women, you know, when you're looking for a mate, you know, women go after men that are in hiding. I always say this, in hiding. They're hiding everything. They're hiding their money. They're hiding the fact that they have other kids. They're hiding the fact that they have other relationships. They're hiding the fact that they have other homes and property. And even wives, you know, they're not transparent. So what I was looking for was someone that was going to be transparent, because now this person would have to be the father to my child. So that right there in itself spoke volumes, you know, for me.
Now, let me add one little note. To me, that fourth item on that list of five was attractiveness. I wanted that trophy wife. That Playboy bunny. That Playboy bunny.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Well, I'm going to tell you, when you said the things you want on your list, I wrote cook, clean, and sex. So, so did I cover that
true.
Pretty good?
You did.
Number one out of the five needs of a man was sex.
Yes, sex.
Number two, recreational companionship. Number three, domestic support. Number four, attractiveness. And number five, administrative support. Those are the things, those are the primary things that the men, where Lauren would say, look for in a wife. But women don't care what you look like. As long as you're showing them affection, number one, and you're a good communicator, that they can talk to you for hours. You know what? A lot of relationships break up, and men look at the women and they say, oh, my gosh, she left me for him? You know, because they're comparing themselves physically.
That works.
Right.
They're comparing themselves physically. But, you know, I heard someone that once say that if a man could get a woman, if a man could get you to talk and laugh and spend time with him and he's showing you affection, then that man can win your heart. And it is true.
Mm-hmm.
It is true. Because those are the things that women are looking for. We're not looking for, you know, the externals. You know, yes, those things are important, but those things are temporal because they will fade away eventually.
No,
you know, but
I'm looking for everything.
Bottom line,
I'm looking for everything.
Yeah,
you do.
The bottom line is, when sickness comes, when you have financial devastation, when you have challenges in your marriage, you don't care what that person looks like anyway.
Absolutely.
What you want to know is if that person is going to sit down on the side of the bed and say, listen, babe, we got a problem.
And that actually happened with us. Valerie,
yes, we,
that actually happened. I had knee replacement surgery. Both my knees are replaced. I'm a bionic
mm-hmm.
man. And that's what happened because I was up, laid up for almost 4 months. And Dee was there for me. And I probably wasn't the most comfortable person to be around because of the fact I'm not used to laying around letting someone else take care of me. But
right.
she was there for me. And so now I'm prepared for whatever comes in our way to take care of Dee. That's why I'm supporting her business ventures and support her in her visions and her goals and her purposes, her purpose that God has placed us here, placed her here on earth. I'll let Dee finish up there now. Dr. Val, thank
you. Okay.
That's so sweet.
Lauren and I, you know, a lot of people, he's not going anywhere.
I'm right here. I'm,
you know, Lauren is always joking. Lauren and
I know, that's,
been,
that's so sweet.
No, Dee's going to talk anyway, so I just might as well just let her get it all out, because she's going to get it.
Okay.
You know that, right, Dr. Val?
Yeah,
well,
I know.
Lauren said earlier that our gifts accompany one another. And what happens is, you know, I started doing empowerment conferences back in 1998. I started speaking and doing, you know, out there on the speaking circuit and doing a lot of things. And so Lauren was always my biggest cheerleader. He was always right there on the front row. This is the main thing that I want to say. Lauren was never intimidated, you know, by mm-hmm. me being out in the forefront, even in speaking. You know, he was always there. The kids were always there, pushing mom, cheering mom on, you know, always willing to say, Dee, we'll be there. We got your back. You know, so some men can't handle that. So, when you're assessing that man, I always say you first find yourself first and your purpose. Those are the first things. Then God will send that man to discover you. You know, the Bible says he who finds a good wife finds a good thing. You're that good thing when you know who you are and you're established and you're rooted and you're grounded. See, that's attractive to a man. A man doesn't want a woman that he's got to take from her mom's house and teach her how to clean, how to cook, how to do everything. You know, so I always tell women, work on your independence. Stop looking for a man. Who are you right now? Because when you get into a marriage, you know, I recently ran into a couple that I've known for a long time, and they are only married for maybe a couple of years, and they're already being challenged in their marriage. And this happens. You know, you can go for the first 3 or 4 years and be just fine in your marriage, but they didn't even make it to that point. And I said,
mm-hmm.
how I look at marriage, two people, two totally different backgrounds, sometimes totally different cultures coming together, living together, combining their thought process, their mindsets together, living under the same roof, two totally different personalities, two totally different purposes in life, trying to come together and sleep together in a bed every night for the rest of your life. That in itself is a challenge. So you better know who you are before that you turns into we. Because if you haven't found out who you are, forget about trying to figure out who the other person is. Find out who you are first. And then when that person comes into your life, then there's a level of understanding. You know, I always say you can't even introduce yourself to someone else if you don't know who you are. So
Absolutely.
You have to be rooted and grounded in you before you can try to pursue any relationship.
Yeah, I was talking to my sister last week. She just got married in October. Now, my sister, she's in her late 30s, and
mm-hmm.
she had never been out of my parents' home prior to that. Mm-hmm. She's always lived with them. So prior to her getting married, her and her husband, you know, lived together. Now, The God in me says no shacking, don't live together. But in her case, she needed to, because she is so strong-willed, so domineering, and has mm-hmm. been on her own for almost 40 years, on her own, you know, she has a child, and so accustomed to dictating and controlling everything that I was like, she is not going to be able to function in a marriage with a man in her space. And sure enough, after that first week, she called me bawling. I can't do this. The sink was all wet. I can't stand no dishes in this sink because, you know, my dad, is mm-hmm. he wasn't in the military, but he was very militant. He did not like anything out of place in the house, and forget the kitchen. You could not go to bed with a spoon in the sink. And mm-hmm. that's how we were brought up. So living in that mm-hmm. arrangement with him and
wow.
this little flaw, and it wasn't anything devastating, but it was devastating mm-hmm. to her because, you know, we didn't function like that. And then she,
right.
I mean, she was all out crying, bawling me because the mm-hmm. man's, the sink was all wet up, and she went to use the bathroom, and he did not pull the toilet seat
down.
I said, baby, there's a whole lot more that's going to go on after that. I said, this is just minor stuff. Wait till his underwear are in the middle of the floor, his socks are balled up. He takes them off and just throw them. I said, this is just the beginning. This is just the entrance.
Oh,
what
yeah.
about when he snores all night, or, you know, when he's eating and just walk away and leave the plates all over everywhere? And I said,
absolutely.
The best is still to come.
You know,
Mary, not to mention.
Up.
Yeah, and then mm-hmm. not to mention, you know, if that individual who you loved and adored while before you walked down that aisle and is getting on your last nerve, and then all of a sudden an illness or a sickness attacks that individual, then you got a double whammy. How do you deal?
Right.
How do you cope with that?
Right. You know what? Marriages, there's half of marriages end in divorce for the little things. It's always the little bitty things. It's not the major things. You know, some people, you know, people forgive them the major things. You know, I thank God that we haven't had, like, the greatest challenges in the world, but we've had the sickness. We've had the financial, you know, woes that happen where we've invested, you know, large sums of money and things of that nature, and we've lost large sums of money, and so then you start, you know, arguing and bickering over, you know, well, that was your friend who advised us. That was this, that was that, you know, and that caused us
mm-hmm.
to lose money. And so
uh-huh.
you really go through a period of knowing which a relationship is founded upon. And at the end of the day, Lauren and I always say, if we were not friends, would we really have stood the test of time? Because there are going to be times when you don't even like that.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
you can get so angry at the person. Well, when you don't like them anymore, you know, because, you know, Lauren and I have a lot of disagreements. I can be a very strong person as a woman, and Lauren is a very strong has a very strong personality. So we have to merge those personalities together, and I have to know as that wife, oh, I can be that businesswoman. I can go out there. I can be that sales trainer. I can go out, and I can hit the streets, and I can do me. But when I come home, Lauren, as my husband, is still looking for certain things. So if certain things aren't in order, then he'll remind me. If there are things that I feel are not in order, I'll remind him. We'll talk about it. But it's those little things, people, when you're not friends, you can't even talk about it. You go storming out of the house talking about he gets on my nerves, and she goes storming to her mother's house and get out with her girlfriends, he gets on my nerves, and the next thing you know, it ends in divorce.
Val, you know what else? One other thing I thought was very important. Dr. Val, it's very important for you to allow, if possible, for a family and a couple, for a couple to move out of the city where their families live. So you have.
Wow.
And that's what Dee and I did. We moved down here to Florida, and we had some distant relatives down here, but we depended on each other. I mean, where we had to discuss things, do things, when we had one car, we function just as well as when we had three cars. So, but that's one of the good things, because finances is really the big problem for couples. So once I have become established, been there and done that, I can sit back very comfortably and let Dee do her thing, because I've done my thing, you know. So, I mean, I've done my business, and so I'm just supporting. Loving her is one thing. Like I said, there are challenges, but yet and still we fight through those challenges.
Money is always a big issue, whether you have it or you don't. You know, for years I was rolling, making 15, 20 grand a month. So it was a challenge for me in a relationship then, because of the fact that, you know, men that were around me, they were intimidated by the fact that I was money, walking in money. And then now when you don't have any money, then I'm like intimidated. Was like, well, I don't have no cash to bring to the table. Matter of fact, when I go out or I talk to them, I let them know, right? And okay, I don't have any money, so you have to make sure you have enough to pay for dinner, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Ladies, always make sure when you go out on a date, I don't care with who it is, make sure you have your own money. So if you need to take it, I always tell my daughters, you go out to dinner, you make sure you can buy your own food, and make sure you can get home if he acts a fool. You can call yourself a cab. Make sure you have the money always in your pocket.
Hey, Valerie, Dr. Valerie, my mother always taught me as a man to always keep at that time it was a quarter to put into the telephone booth, but always keep a quarter down in my sock. So if I had to make that phone call, I can make it.
Exactly.
This
was a
man.
And get
Jack.
And women are always taught to always have that mad money, you know, in case you get mad. You know, you can go your separate way. You know, but when you're talking about a relationship, you know, this is the importance of really getting to know a person. See, we're living in the 21st century. This is the information age. There is nothing much that you really can hide. You know, I tell people, when I see posts on Facebook, when I see pictures and the news on television, and people discover all of these things that they stated that they didn't know about a person, this is the, and we're living in an information age. Public records is your best friend.
You could check a jail record.
There's so much information that you can find out about a person prior to dating them. You know, people want to be in a relationship so badly that they're willing to sacrifice a part of themselves and a part of their soul. They're willing to give it up just to be in a relationship. And now that we're coming up on Valentine's Day, people are more prone to be in relationships that are abusive, relationships that are not healthy, just to say, I'm in a relationship. You know, I never got caught up in that. I had friends that even before I got married, that I could go places with and we could go out and have a good time if it was a formal affair. Hey, you want to hang out with me? Not somebody that you're even dating. You have to have friends, you know, but people are so serious. Men shy away because women are looking to grab you, marry you, have kids and start their family all within 2 years. And men sometimes are not looking for that. They're just looking for somebody to take to the show or to the movie. You know, Michael Bazin, who's a friend of ours, he talks about this all the time. You know, do your background checks. Do your information. You know, make that first few dates an interview. You know, and I believe in that. You know, you interview the prospect, you eliminate the suspects. Because that's what
I think I'm kind of terrible. Yeah, I'm kind of terrible as a date or something because I'd be all up in their business and stuff because I feel, you know, one of the things I talk about in my book, From the Soul of a Woman, if you can't be transparent with an individual, why be with them? Because there's good, there's bad, there's ugly, and challenges are going to come. You're not going to always feel like you're in love. You're not always going to have those butterflies. And then, you know, and one of the things I kid about is, you know, make sure that the person you're in a relationship with, you don't mind rolling around looking at them or first thing in the morning, because that's a fright all by itself.
Right?
That's frightening. Yeah. Don't mad about if somebody don't like them, or somebody say they ugly or they fat or they this and that. You know, the bottom line is, do you like them? Is it somebody that is, you know, fits into your life space where you feel that you can live your life with? And that's why people get married to other individuals, because they feel that they can't continue on without this person in their life mm-hmm. space. But in doing that, make sure it's someone that's going to help you ultimately fulfill your destiny and your purpose in life.
Absolutely.
And see, that's what happens in relationships, is you get into a relationship and then somebody stops breathing, somebody's heart stops beating, and then you succumb to the will and desires of that one person, and then you wind up dying emotionally and mentally inside, and then that's why the love goes. But when you're in a relationship with somebody where you complement each other, where you're constantly breathing life into each other each and every day, then the best is surely to come. Even in the midst of storms, the best mm-hmm. will yet come, because of the love that is not just a superficial love, but an eternal love that will take you through destiny.
Exactly.
Amen. That is so profound. What you just stated, Dr. Valerie, it is so profound, because what I found, you know, I said earlier, you know, you could, you know, as much as I love my husband, there are times where you just don't like, I don't like your attitude today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times when he looks at me and says, you know what, Dee, you know, I don't like your attitude either, you know. But
yes,
at the end of the day, yeah, that's going to happen, you know, and at the end of the day, we love one another enough that we don't sweat the small stuff. You know, we can get into a major debate where we might argue about something, and it's not a knockdown, drag-out fight. He's never, ever put his hands on me or anything like that, but we voice our opinions, and we voice them strongly sometimes. And at the end of the day, we still might not agree. You know, we have to agree to disagree and move on,
yes,
and we look at one another and say, you know what, let's go and grab a bite to eat. Okay, because at the end of the day, we were friends first. And if the listeners don't take away anything else, understand that if you're not friends first, you can never withstand the trials that are going to come in a relationship. It's not a matter of whether they're going to come or not. They are going to come. But it's that friendship and that love for God that we have that helps us to get through the trials and the things that we've gone through in our marriage. You know, when I say we've lost money, we have the Andy Enriquez testimony. We lost like $60,000 in a bad investment. Now, it was, you know all of those scriptures that you challenge, you know, you never, and you always talk to never go to bed angry. Oh, we violated those a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Or we've gone to bed angry because, you know, you start blaming one another for, you know, how did this happen? You know, where you were supposed to be on top of this. No, you were supposed to be on top of that. And we've had those things. But our friendship and the love that we have and God being at the foundation of our marriage are the things that helped us to even get through those things. You know, because when the sickness came and I was Lauren was bedridden, if we were having problems in our marriage, he was home. He couldn't leave home. I was running home on lunch break, changing, taking care of him, feeding him four meals a day, cooking, putting away food and picking up things. I was running myself crazy. Also raising the kids at that time, and the children were in every sport imaginable. I was team mom. I had to learn how to balance my life. I'm big on balance anyway. That's why I teach it all the time. You have to maintain a level of balance. There are things when my family was family is always priority, but when there are things like sickness and things that will come about, you have to pull away from some things. You have to tell some people no, you know, without explanation. Your family is your priority. And I was team mom on every sport, so I was from this field to that field, and God knows our kids were in every sport that you can think of. And I had to pull back and say, listen, for this season in my life, my who is my priority, you see. Mm-hmm. And we have to let our children know and our spouses know that they are our priority. When we start looking at them and telling them they don't mean anything to us, and everything in our agenda takes priority, then you need to reevaluate why you're in that relationship. Because a lot of people are in relationships that they shouldn't have gotten into. They got into them for the wrong reasons.
Yeah,
very,
that's
very
true. I have Dr. Clarence Granish holding, too, on the line. And he's been talking the last couple of weeks. He has an event that's coming up in Atlanta. But Dr. Granish, are you there? Clarence Granish, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Parker. How are you?
I am well. Now, you've heard Dee and Lauren talk about their relationships, and now you come in from a medical perspective. How often do you have to deal with your patients as it relates to illnesses in the relationship? Is it, you know, has it been more deal breakers in marriages than it should be because of health issues?
All of the time, all of the time. And as you notice, they built a base or a foundation when they met each other. It was business before pleasure. They were friends first, physical next, and they will die as friends. Now, in that dying process, your body changes as you get older. Many of my patients come in, and there's a problem. There's a problem with the ladies. That's why I can't think anymore. I'm nervous. I'm depressed. I'm crying all the time. I've got all these hot flashes. My husband can't feel comfortable at nighttime because he's got a cover on him 1 second and nothing the next, and then it's repeating 50 times a night. I don't know what's happening. And so they come in. I'm an endocrinologist, and we find out that their hormones are imbalanced. So relationships are really, really stressed when we get older, you know, as they were. They found themselves happily together in a non-physical relationship at first. So
right.
If being physical first was the goal, when the physical age, when the physical being physical with age disappears, so will your mate. They develop that strong relationship. So as life takes its turn, and you find out you may have diabetes, and you have to have injections, and you have coronary artery disease and a heart attack, all those physical challenges place stress upon the relationship. It's not only the woman who goes through these mental changes, but the men also go through those mental changes. As his testosterone drops after the age of 40, that 1 or 2% per year, he starts to become a whole different man. A woman will come in and she'll say, I married this guy, but I don't know who this guy is. And you find out that, oh, I know who he is. His testosterone is low and or his heart is down. So, and then they're always talking about as they get older, the physical relationship has changed. Things are not the 2 and 3 hour rendezvous in the middle of the day and night. They're only down to 30 seconds once a month, maybe once a year. So
I just love Dr. Scranage.
You got to keep things going. The purpose of anti-aging medicine is to actually place the hormones back into balance between the ages of 25 and 35, because everyone remembers when you were between 25 and 35, that's the time where you were balanced, and that's where life was most happiest. So now we'll take that 55, 60-year-old and put those balances and hormones back in, and you find a new that woman that you had, the man that you had, hey, you find them again. Then you get to do it for another 45, 50 years. And, you know, that's the principle. And, man, that's the fun of interpersonal relationships. And we'll be talking a lot more of that at the Total Entrepreneur Conference. That is going to be this Friday and Saturday. And Les Brown is our keynote speaker. Yeah, no Les. Oh, yeah, number one in the world. And Ona Brown is also going to be there. We'll have 7 other life coaches and motivators there at this conference. It'll be the first medical motivational conference in Atlanta, and it also includes other topics for the total entrepreneur. Those workshops will be like writing, anti-aging, financial stocks and investing success. We have a rags-to-riches guy, somebody who used to live on the floor like most of us did, and now we no longer live on the floor. We actually live in a bed. Okay. We have Living Your Dreams as a second career and speaking as a profession and multiple different things. Also, we have a fashion show showing you how to dress business-wise for the success. We have a young entertainer called Clarissa Carter who entertain you to death. And this is going to be at the Father's House. As you know, that's at 5875 Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, Suite 300 in Norcross, Georgia. And the cost for the events is just $49 for both days. And they start at Friday at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Saturday, the conference, at 10 a.m. all the way up until 4. And in case you need to have some information, you can always check up with Val and call 954-724-0900 or also register and go online by eventsbyarise.com. That's eventsbyarise.com. And we're having – this is really a fun conference. The more we have it – and the breakout sessions will be really individualized. The millionaires who will be millionaires will be there. You get to ask them, okay, what did you really do? What was your real secret? And they have told us that they will tell you in a one-on-one because the breakouts will not be like 200 people in a room. You know, and the other menopausal questions and andropause questions, we had a round table like in Florida where the 10 guys around the table ran their mouths about, okay, this is what happens. Well, I had diabetes and down south won't go north anymore. What can I do? And is your doctor doing this? And we give lots of hints and even help your doctor and work with your doctor so that you'll know what questions to ask him when you go there. So, yeah, the topics are put the couples together, you'll have a full, happy relationship. Coming back to full circle, that is. Okay?
Well, I tell you what, when they get through with this workshop, you know, single and married will be able to look at their individuals and themselves with new eyes. And we're going to not only have that conference there that you're doing in Atlanta this weekend, but I'm going to merge it with Soul Retreat 2014, where it's going to be September 12th and 13th here in Fort Lauderdale area. And I'm excited about that. Can't wait to have you back down to work with our men with their medical issues. And Dee and Lauren will be there. We're going to deal with power couples this time and talk to individuals from that standpoint. And I'm going to have the fashion show again along with some young people that are probably doing a skit on domestic violence. I'm just so excited about Soul Retreat 2014 this year. I'm putting the pieces together because, you know, one of the things I always try and do is deal with that total man from the inside out. And you know, if we can't deal with that soul of a person, what their issues are, then they're not going to be able to come out and be productive on the earth to help not only themselves but somebody else. So if we can come together as a community to raise up a core of individuals that will take this nation by storm, I believe we can make a change in our communities. I just believe, Dee and Lauren, that, you know, we can have couples looking at their spouses with new eyes. I believe if we can talk about different things medically that are affecting them, personally that's affecting them, sexually that's affecting them, you know, and for those that can't cook, I need to find somebody, a component in there where they can talk about, because, Dee, a lot of women can't cook.
I know.
a lot of women can't cook. And, you know, I got one here in my house that can't cook. And, you know, I said, baby, you know, you want to get married, but you got to learn how to cook. And,
right,
you know,
right.
You just can't be coming to mommy's house to feed your husband and stuff. You got to learn how to do this on your own. So we need to have something like that. I'm gonna look into that. Somebody that can talk about recipes and how to make your man. They said the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So, Lauren,
yes.
Is that right?
I'll say yeah for him.
Val, can you hear us? Val. Dr. Val.
I can hear Lauren now.
Okay, I was telling Dr. Skridish, K.A. Psy, my brother.
Oh, Fanoop.
Yeah. I met you at Val's conference here.
Yes.
And,
Yes, I remember
yes,
you.
Right.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
All I can say is those that are going to be in Atlanta, take a lot of – make sure you have your iPads or notepads, everything. Dr. Skranich is so awesome. I wish that I could be there. I love Les Brown. Les Brown, I love you if you're listening. Dr. Skranich has so much information. He talks so fast. He moves so fast, but it's such powerful, impactful information. I wish I could be there. I'm telling you, you bless us here in Fort Lauderdale, and I am really looking forward to hearing you again very soon.
Well, thank you ever so much. Thank you very much.
I am so excited, and I thank you, Lauren, and I thank you, Dee and Dr. Clarence Skranich, for being a part of another edition of Hot Topics from the Soul. I invite you to visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, and to find out information about the events that are coming up in Atlanta and Soul Retreat. And Les Brown has a training he's doing February 21st and 22nd. Here in Fort Lauderdale, you can visit eventsbyarise.com. That's eventsbyarise.com. Now, Dee is a motivational speaker, and she has a website with some products available. I invite you to visit her website. Dee, could you give your information and contact so that they can know how to reach out to you?
www.dthompsonspeaks2.com. And like me on Facebook, D. Thompson Speaks. And I will be posting little nuggets for Valentine's. I'll be posting up to 14 days from February 1st to the 14th, little nuggets and little things concerning relationships on my D. Thompson Speaks page. So like the page and follow me there as well.
Okay, that's for single, that's for couples. The tips are tips of love, tips of encouragement, tips of motivation. So visit Dee Speaks on Facebook to follow and to find out about her and Lauren, how they're doing. And if you want to speak to talk with Dr. Clarence Skranich, Dr. Clarence, how can they get a hold of you?
Actually, they can get a hold of me actually tonight. I'm actually going to do something strange, too. I'm going to give away two tickets to the Entrepreneur Conference in Atlanta. If they will call either you or with the 954-724-0900, or they can call me for the next hour. I'll answer my own phone at 804-858-3040, 804-858-3040, or 804-929-6346. Those are the two numbers that I'll be answering for the next hour or so in case you want to call up and I'll give away a couple of tickets. I guess Val would do that.
Okay. Thank you so much. And tell a friend and replay the show, email it to someone. And The Power of One, that is the show tonight, The Power of One. So pass it along to someone. And I thank you all for joining me on another Hot Topics from the Soul. Remember, love affects our past, our present, our future. Love is an emotion, a gift given to us from God. And it should never, ever hurt. Thank you. That's from an excerpt from my book, FromTheSoulOfAWoman.com. Thank you, and have a good night.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks
Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night.